Okay, sometimes there's some stuff that is so dangerous that you got to get that stuff out of your house. You know what I'm talking about? This morning is all about preparation. The holidays, they're coming up. We're through Halloween. We got Thanksgiving, and then we got Christmas, and this is all about getting us ready. It'll help you get ready for those holidays. It won't help your house get ready. It won't help you with the food, but it will help you get ready for the relationships, for your family, for your in-laws. It'll help you get ready for that stuff. It'll help you get ready for just your relationships and your day-to-day life. This is going to help you to get ready for some stuff. And the thing it's going to help you get ready for first is in a few minutes, we're going to receive communion together. This is going to help you to get ready for that. And it's all done through the lens of this pretty simple principle. Sometimes there are things that are so dangerous that you've got to get these things out of your house. Now, we're going to dive pretty deep this morning. We're going to talk through some stuff that may be difficult at times, difficult intellectually, and certainly difficult kind of emotionally. We're going to take some directions that may be hard for some of us. But look, you stick with this, and this is going to help you. It's going to help you to get ready. Because there's some stuff that's so dangerous that you got to get that stuff, starting this morning, out of your house. Okay, to get us ready to talk about all those things, let me take a moment and pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we get to spend together. Thank you for the time that we've had in prayer. Thank you for the time that we've had to sing. Hopefully the time that we've had to meet some people this morning. And now as we turn to the scripture and then to receive this meal together, we pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will just continue to be with us to guide our conversation. Pray that you take the words that I prepared and that you bring them to life. I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that will be pleasing to you, O Lord. You're our rock and our Redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes there are some things that are so dangerous that you got to get that stuff out of your house. You know what I'm talking about, okay? Some of you have kids in your class or in your home or that come to visit you periodically that have some kind of a food allergy. And if they have a significant of enough food allergy, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Before they get in the classroom, before they get to your house, before they come into your home, you got to get all the nuts out of the house. You got to scour the house and get rid of all of them. Why? Because even just a little bit can cause what? A big problem. Some of you scoured your house on Thursday night. Your kids came home, they've been trick-or-treating, they took their little plastic pumpkin, they dumped it on the ground, and you scoured it for razor blades and the Reese's Pieces, right? You gotta get all the razor blades out. In our house, we don't just scour for razor blades, we scour for all Reese's products, okay? Because here's the crazy thing, I don't understand exactly how this works. My kids are watching. So I don't understand this, but my kids are not allergic to nuts, but they are allergic to Reese's peanut butter cups. And I don't understand it, but we scour and we tell them, you got to throw all the Reese's peanut butter cups away in the trash can of mom and dad's room right now. Okay? You got to scour that stuff. Here's the deal. Sometimes you let stuff in your home that is so dangerous that it is time to get that stuff out of your home. And of course, the best example, I mean, all of us know this, is this stuff right here. I mean, yeast. I mean, sometimes yeast is so dangerous, you just got to get the yeast out of your, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, look, this is in the Bible. I mean, the Bible tells us this so clearly that there are times when yeast has got to get out of your house. I don't know, I'm seeing some blank stares. Maybe you don't know this. You need to know this. Yeast can be dangerous. Look, Exodus chapter 12, look. For 7 days, you are to eat bread made without what? Yeast. For 7 days of the year, you can't have any yeast. Now, for 51 weeks of the year, it's perfectly fine. But for these 7 days, you can't have it. And the reason that you can't have it is, well, this is a law that the Jews were given long, long time ago. Because a long, long time ago, the way that God got the Israelites out of Egypt is that he used a guy named Moses to pull them out of slavery in Egypt. And when it was time to go, they had to get moving so quickly that they didn't have time to let the dough rise. So they baked their dough, and all they had for their journey out of slavery was unleavened bread, was matzah bread. So in order to remember this, 7 days of the year, you don't eat anything with yeast in it. And in fact, when it's this festival, it's the festival of unleavened bread, which is associated with the festival of Passover. When this is coming on the first day of that feast, remove all the yeast from your houses. Not only should you not eat any Hawaiian bread, but for those 7 days, you're not even allowed to have yeast in your home. Now, if you're an ancient Jew, you don't know anything about this product, yeast, that you can buy at the store. And the way that you leavened bread is that you wouldn't use yeast like this. What you did is that you had a little bit of a starter loaf. And whenever you were ready to bake your bread, you would take a little bit out of it and you would set it aside. You would bake the rest of it. And then you save that so that next time you're ready to leaven some bread, you mix that starter loaf in with the unleavened dough, and then it rises together. Then you got another batch. When you're ready to bake that, what do? You take a little bit out for your next loaf. So they don't have yeast the way that we have yeast. In fact, this should probably actually be translated as some kind of leaven. But at the beginning of the festival of unleavened bread, you got to get all of that stuff out of your house. Why? It's dangerous to have it in your house. You know why it's dangerous to have it in your house? This is how seriously we've got to take this. Whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh day must be cut off from Israel. That's how serious this is. For this week, if you eat the Hawaiian bread, you're out of the community, which sounds extreme. And of course, it is extreme. But here's why it's extreme. See, part of what it meant to be a Jew, part of what it means today to be a Jew, is that you remember what God did for your ancestors. You remember how it is that you got to where you are today. The only reason that you are free today is because of what God did then. And if you don't want to keep with our traditions, and you don't want to stay away from the Hawaiian bread for 1 week a year, that's fine. It's okay. But you can't be a Jew. Because part of what it means to be a Jew is to remember our ancestors, what they did for us, and to remember God and what God did for us. So if you want to eat the Hawaiian bread, that's fine, but you're going to need to join a different community. Now look, here's the thing. We don't follow this as Christians. And there are a lot of reasons we don't follow it, and we could go into all of the theological reasons why we don't and all those things, but we're not going to go into all that this morning. I'm going to give you one reason here in a little bit. We don't follow this today, but if you go back 2,000 years ago to when this whole Jesus movement got started, all of the people around Jesus, including Jesus himself, they followed this and they understood this. They understood why this was important, and they kept it themselves. And then when you get to the last day of Jesus' life, the last full day, he sits down for a meal with his disciples, those people that are closest to him. And he has a meal called a Passover meal or a Seder meal that's associated with the festival of unleavened bread. And this image would have been right in the minds of all of his disciples when they sit down for that meal. And they go through all of the regular stuff. They talk about how God took the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, all of those things. And then at the end, Jesus goes off script and he says something that nobody's expecting. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. This would have been unleavened bread, matzah bread. He takes that bread, and when he had given thanks to it, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take. This is my body," which would not have made any sense to them at all. Oh, this, that's your body? Okay, Jesus, I'm not quite sure what's going on here. I don't really understand. I am now the matzah bread. I'm the bread. Okay. All right. And then it gets weirder. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood. Okay. All right. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. You see, at this point, for 1,300 years or so, the Jews had been practicing the Passover as a part of the festival of unleavened bread. And then 2,000 years ago, you get Jesus, who all of a sudden begins to reinterpret this. And he says, look. We all know the story of how God, through Moses, led the people out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. Well, I now want you to see what I am doing through the lens of that. You see, I'm the new bread, okay? And I'm the new cup. And I am getting ready, though they do not understand this at all at the time, I am getting ready to lead you just as Moses did. I am getting ready to lead you out of slavery, but it won't be physical bondage. I am getting ready to lead you out of that slavery that you feel when you feel chained and bound to your guilt, when you feel chained and bound to your insecurity, when you feel chained and bound to all of the sin that is in your life. I am getting ready to lead you out of slavery to that. This is one of the reasons that we don't practice the Festival of Unleavened Bread or Passover anymore, because this meal that we're about to take together, it takes the place of that. This is the new Passover meal, where Jesus is that bread. And Jesus' blood is in that wine for the forgiveness of our sins and for the nourishment on the journey that leads us from slavery to our sin into a new life, free, unhindered by our past. And Jesus would have prepared them for this meal. Now, whoever hosted the meal, we don't know whose house it was in, but whoever hosted that meal would have scoured that house to pull out any leaven. That homeowner would have made sure there was no leaven in there to be in compliance with the law. But Jesus had also been preparing for a long time his disciples for that meal in a different way. Now, they all know about the whole yeast or leaven thing. At one point, and if you're reading along in the book of Mark, you would have read this. At one point he says, look, here's the deal. Disciples, don't let the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees get inside of you. Don't let that yeast get inside of you. And they would have all known, okay. What yeast does, or leaven does, is when it gets in, even if it's just a little bit, it changes the whole loaf, right? It just takes a little bit of leaven to raise the whole batch. It says, don't let that yeast, and then he goes on to explain, not in Mark, but in Luke, that what that yeast is, what that leaven is its hypocrisy. Jesus says, look, don't let hypocrisy get into your life, because it can mess the whole thing up. And you see, the disciples would have been able to read between the lines in a way that we can't, because there's a cultural gap between where we are and where they were 2,000 years ago. They all would have seen what we have got to see today, that when Jesus is talking about this leaven, he's saying, look, you've got to be careful. There are certain things that if you let these things into your life, if you let them into your heart, if you let these things into your house, it will change everything. See, here's the deal. Sometimes something is so dangerous that you've got to get that stuff out of your house. One of the reoccurring themes all throughout the Bible, we see it repeatedly, over again, Old Testament, New Testament, over again, is perfectly summed up in Proverbs 4. It's simply this. Look, above all else, guard your heart, for everything else flows from it. Jesus says this, you want to know where the words from your mouth come from? I mean, when that person pulls you, cuts you off and something comes flying out of your mouth, look, when your roommate does something and you immediately pop off, and then look, you want to know where those words come from? Jesus says very clearly, it comes from the overflow of your heart. Whatever is inside of you, that is what's going to come out of you. Well, above all else, guard your heart. Watch what you're letting in there. Next week, we're starting a series simply called Lies. It's about the lies that we believe. So the lies that we start to believe in our minds, they get a foothold there, and then they move into our hearts, they begin to affect our feelings, and then once they're in our hearts, what do? Well, they creep into our relationships, and they begin to damage our relationships. And then if enough of us begin to believe these lies, it can creep into our society as a whole. The Bible tells us over and over and over again, look, guard your heart, watch out for what you let in there. See, Jesus knows that what will get his disciples is not the big stuff, but it will be the little sins that they allow to grow inside of them the way that yeast grows in dough and leavens the whole thing. He says, watch out. Prepare your hearts. Okay, so what do we do with all that? Well, here's what I like to picture. I like to picture ancient Israelites scouring their house for leaven. I like to picture this. So they know that it's time to get all of it out of the house. So what do? Well, the first thing they do is they grab all the leavened bread, right? Any of the Hawaiian loaves that are hanging around, they take those and they throw those out of the house. So that's pretty easy. Those things are pretty obvious. We know where those things are. But then they've got to go find the yeast or that starter dough, and they got to get rid of that. And I would imagine that it's pretty easy to say, but you know, it's going to be such a hassle to get more of that. And if we just keep it over here, surely it won't cause a problem. So I just want to keep, no, you got to get rid of all of it. So you got to get rid of the starter loaf too. And then what I really like to picture is them like looking underneath the table and in the corner, and just looking all over the house, scouring it for any little bit that might have been left over. This is what I think God challenges us to do, to reflect and to ask, okay, what are the things in my mind, what are the things in my heart, what are the things in my life that have the potential to sour my relationships? The potential to sour my relationships with God, sour my relationships with myself and my relationships with other people. What are those things? And to take a moment and think, all right, what are the big things? Okay, three kind of steps. What are the big things? What's the big Hawaiian loaves? What are the big things that it's time to get out of my life? If you're not sure what that is, as soon as you heard me use the word sin or talk about confession or anything like that, that thing inside of you that you thought about when you thought, I don't want him to talk about that, that's what that is, okay? So you got to get that, push that to the front, okay? But then also, like, what's this stuff? Like, the stuff that you think is maybe not that big of a deal, like, it's just off to the side, like, a little, like, side action over here, right? Not that big of a deal. What are those things? Like, maybe it's just like a little bit of cattiness, or maybe it's like just a little habit that's like not that big of a deal, you know, it's just what I do on the weekends and it doesn't really affect me. Okay, look. That too, you gotta put that up front also, okay? And then, oh, this is the image that I love. And then if you take just a couple of minutes, this doesn't take long, just a couple of minutes, and you really say, all right, God, is there anything else? Is there anything else hiding underneath the table? Is there anything else in the corner? Is there anything else that I don't see? God, I just want you to sweep up and just let me know, like, is there any other, like, unleavened? Is there anything else, like, leaven? Is there anything else that's in my life? And I'm telling you, for me at least, when I sit there, all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't see that in the corner. But yeah, I was not very charitable to that person when they cut me off. Oh, yeah. I was not very patient with Amy at all. Oh, yeah. I think that I have more self-righteousness in me than I realize. And you just let him, like, go in the corners of your heart and, like, pull up the stuff that you don't even know is there. And then you got to put that up there, too. Like, the big loaf, the big obvious stuff, like the little stuff that like you think isn't that big of a deal, and like let him like dust out like any of the other stuff, the stuff that's in the corner that you don't always see, like the stuff that's hidden underneath. Like you put all of that stuff on the table, okay? You just grab it all like you're a ninth century Jew, like cleaning your house, right, with the leaven. You just take it all and you put it in the front, and then what do you do with it? Because then you just got it, okay? Now I just know that I'm a sinner. Okay, what does that do? Okay, now I just know that I have been a jerk to people. Okay, what do I do with that? But you got it all there. And then what you do with it, and this sounds so cheesy, but it's true. You give it to God. I mean, I told you last week, there are things about the Christian faith that I just don't understand. There are things about the way the world works that I just don't understand. But it just happens. You give it to God, and what you get in return is forgiveness. It's like the greatest deal ever. I don't understand it, but it happens. You take all that stuff, you identify it, you say, God, I need you to forgive me of this. And I'm telling you, friends, I have felt that, and many of you have also. Some of you are here, and this may be the first time ever that you have heard this or that you've like really, really heard this, but this is the way that this works. Admitting that you have sin in your life doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you like everybody else. But when you admit that it's there and you put it in the forefront, and then you say, God, I don't want this anymore. I want you to take this from me. I want to be freed from this. I want to be free to love God and to love other people more fully. I don't want this poison in my life anymore. When you take it and you give it to him, he takes it. You gather it up, you give it to him, and then you get in return forgiveness. It's the craziest thing. But it's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus. It's the way that the world somehow works. So what I want to do this morning, before we receive communion, is just give us a moment to do that. I'm just going to take about 60 seconds in just a couple of minutes. I'm just going to lead us through a time of just reflection to put the big stuff there, then to put the little stuff there, and then to ask God to kind of dust us around the edges and in the corners to pull up anything else that we don't see. And then we have it all in front of us, and then we give it to God. So before we receive this morning, we're going to pray a prayer of confession. We don't always do that in here, but we're going to this morning. Prayers of confession can be difficult. Some people don't like them. They're kind of depressing. They can be kind of, some people think that they're just awful. I don't know. So here's the thing. They are kind of depressing, and they are kind of hard. But you know what they are before they are those things? They're just a reflection of reality. So I'm going to read for you the prayer of confession that we're going to pray in a minute. I don't want you to have to pray something you haven't read first, okay? So we're going to look at this, and I'm going to go ahead and give you an out. If any of these things don't apply to you, you don't have to pray it, okay? All right? But if they apply to you, I don't care how depressing it is, you have to pray it, okay? All right, this is the prayer, okay? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. Green check for me, or I guess it's red check. I don't know, whatever it is. Okay, I got that. I love God. I love God a lot, okay? But I don't, look, there are parts of my heart that aren't completely turned over. Okay, I got that one, okay? I'm going to be praying that one, okay? We have failed to be an obedient church. Okay, have we been an obedient church? I don't know. But I know that us as individuals haven't all been obedient, and that's ultimately, like, we can only be an obedient church if we're obedient individuals. I know that there are times when I'm feeling led to do something and I don't do it, so that's another check for me, okay? I don't know how you're doing. We have not done your will. Yep, there's that one, okay? We have broken your law. Okay, you've made it pretty clear, like, you gave us the scripture, and, like, you're also, like, moving in our hearts, and, like, for me, I do not always keep that. I do a lot, but I do not always keep that law. We've rebelled against your love. Yep, I'm a rebel. I know that you love me a lot, and I want to be on board with that, but there are times when I'm not. We have not loved our neighbors. I have to be careful here because some of my neighbors are here. But yeah, I love my neighbors a lot, a whole lot. I love them a lot. Do I love them completely? Are there times when I don't love them well? Yes, that's true too. I won't give any examples right now. We have not heard the cry of the needy. There are people that I keep at a distance because frankly, it would be too hard to hear what they need. And there are other people that I know what they need and I don't respond to it. So I've just got a lot, like I got a lot of checks here. So I'm going to be praying this. And then I'm going to pray this. Forgive us, we pray. And this is the whole point. And free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Forgive us and free us. Here all of it is. It's just who I am, God. I don't think that it makes me a bad person, but it does make me like everybody else. And I'm just tired of pretending like it's not there. Here it is. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to trust that what you're going to give me in return is forgiveness and mercy and grace. So we're about to pray to gather that stuff up. Hannah's then going to lead us in a prayer of confession to give that stuff to God. And then you're going to come forward. You'll receive a piece of bread. And you'll dip it in the juice. And that will be representative of God giving you that forgiveness. Jesus is the new bread, the bread of life. And the cup represents his blood for us, the new covenant, which promises to forgive us of whatever we bring in here, knowing that his grace is greater than even our greatest regret. So let's take a moment now, just get kind of comfortable. And I'm going to lead us just real quickly through an exercise to just gather those sins together to be prepared to give them to God. Okay, let's pray. God, first, we just take a moment and we just bring to the front of our minds those big sins, those big lies, the big Hawaiian loaf, Lord, the thing that we just know that we need to be forgiven of. So, Lord, we bring those to our minds first. And now, Lord, we bring along with that, we bring before you, Lord, the smaller things, the things that we just don't want to believe are a big thing, but we know have the potential to become big things, Lord, we bring those to you. Let's gather those up. And now, Lord, we take just a moment, and we'll take more time later on our own, but we just take a moment now, Lord, just to ask you just to dust, to sweep the corners of our hearts and our minds, to bring forward anything else, Lord, that we may not even see, but that needs to be put in this pile. And Lord, now with those things just piled up, we want to be bold. And we've gathered that stuff together. And now, Lord, we want to give it to you as we pray together this prayer of confession.